welcome back to this week's Good Work Show, where we dress alike.
Yes, we do. At least for this week. It's a very special week.
That's right. Yes, there's a reason for this. You might have heard us talk about one of our favorite guests who was commenting one time about the fact that Trenise and I always dress alike. So we made it so today so that we could continue along those lines.
Yes. So we're going to hear from Raphael Holloway.
Yay. Yes. Yes. So he is the CEO of Gateway Center, and we're excited that he's going to join us. Great organization, homeless serving organization. They provide a ton of services. And we're going to catch up with him, see what the team has been working on since the pandemic started, but then also dig into some of the things that are happening right now. We talk about voting and the census and the pandemic and just things that are going on around us. And what does that look like for the guests that are at Gateway Center and the folks that they serve in the community? I think that would be very interesting to hear from him. And so we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, so stick with, we're going to keep this short because fair warning, that conversation goes a little long. So we're going to.
Good, and we want you to hear all of it. So if you have this amount of time, we're going to keep ours to this so you can hear from
us. Right. So enjoy the conversation, and we hope that you learn a lot and also learn how you can support their efforts. So stick with us, and up next, we're going to hear from Raphael Holloway.
Hey, Good Work Show friends, we are back and we're excited because we have one of our favorite guests on the show with us today, Mr. Raphael Holloway. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning to both of you.
Thanks. I feel like we should warn people that this may go long just because.
because Raphael's one of our favorites.
Yes, and we'll just start talking about stuff and then we'll look up and we're like, oh, this is longer
than that works. We're here just to have a conversation and in between throw in a few updates.
That's right.
Exactly. That's right.
So for those of you who don't know, Raphael is the CEO of Gateway Center. And let's just get into it because, you know, you describe Gateway in such a way that I think is so unique and definitely tells a story of what you do. So tell us a little bit about Gateway Center.
Sure. So Gateway Center is a homeless service center that has been serving the Atlanta homeless community for 15 years now. We are located in South Downtown Atlanta, and we provide a number of services. And I'm very specific about using the term homeless service center, because if I was to say shelter, you will immediately paint a picture in your head of what we look like. And we're not that. And so, yes, we have beds. We offer 482 beds of what we call short-term residential beds to our guests. We do not refer to the people we serve as clients. And while in those 482 beds, individuals receive intensive case management services, linkages to housing supports, housing subsidies, as well as to medical care, fatherhood classes. We have shaped our work in a way that it circles around these five, what we call our five keys to success. First is housing and housing placement. Second is wellness, where we're looking at not only your physical health and getting you connected with a provider, but also your mental health, as well as if you have substance abuse issues. Third, we're looking at job readiness and job placement. For many of those that we serve, the barrier to housing is the lack of income or low wage. And so we began to immediately address that. Fourth key to success is community and family engagement. Each of us have benefited from our networks, and oftentimes, individuals experiencing homelessness have been disconnected from those networks. So we try to get you back connected to your natural supports or through volunteerism, volunteering in community and building new supports and new engagements. And then fifth is literacy. That includes adult and financial literacy. As the income comes in, we need to ensure that the individuals are aware of how to truly balance a budget. But in some cases also learn how to make investments. And we don't always have that conversation with certain populations. And then we have the adult literacy, where we're working with the Atlanta Public School GED Adult Education Program, so the individuals can receive their GEDs, and then that also helps with expanding potential job opportunities.
So, you know, you're just doing a couple things.
A couple things with, you know, a few thousand people per year. We serve approximately 9,000 people per year, and another of that 9,000, 1,200 of those individuals are in our residential programs each year as well.
That's incredible work that you're doing. So thank you for that. And that's work that you do every day. But I feel like every conversation we're having with nonprofits this, you know, in the last, what, 6 months, 7 months? I've lost all track of time at this point. But we have to lay the pandemic on it and talk about how is that affecting. I know at one point we're talking about how the pandemic, just the basics of being able to keep your distance, wash your hands, that kind of stuff was impacting people experiencing homelessness or housing insecurity. And then, so that was kind of the first part, right? And then once we laid this economic piece on top of it, how that's pushing a lot of people into being into a less secure position, whether it's, you know, food insecurity, housing insecurity, all those kinds of things. So how has the pandemic and what's been going on been impacting folks that you're seeing? Are you seeing people that you've never seen before come through your doors, or how, what's going on?
Absolutely. So I'll start at the beginning. For us, our planning started on March 2nd. When we first received word of the school teacher who was infected with COVID-19 and the spread that happened in the, I believe it was Fulton County schools at the time. Immediately that Monday, we began some planning here. Luckily, because we're a congregate setting, we have some of the protective equipment in place, the PPE, because we're always planning for the potential spread of TB or other issues that could be, or other communicable diseases in our environment. So we had some training in place, but COVID-19 was a new animal, as well as like the rest of the community, we got a lot of mis and bad information early on. So it was like chasing a ghost. It was a killer that you couldn't see, and you couldn't get real good details on how to protect yourself. And so we did our best. We worked with the CDC, we worked with some local public health providers, and immediately put some things in place, social distancing, use of masks and hand sanitizer at all times. We changed our sanitation protocols for our overall facility. Next, we knew we needed to get the information out to those that are unsheltered. So we worked with the City of Atlanta and specifically our continuum of care partner, Partners for Home, and began a targeted outreach initiative. Because as you mentioned, around the basic things that we kind of heard, washing your hands, keeping your distance, we knew immediately the unsheltered community, that was an unrealistic ask. And so we began to engage, having conversations, sharing details about safe practices, but also where they can implement those practices at. So Gateway provides the opportunity for that. We changed our engagement center or our lobby so that people can rest from the elements, but still be socially distanced. We were already providing showers free of charge. And additionally, we also provide access to the ability to wash your clothes, which also is critical in these times. We provided some strategic guidance to encampments on how to space their tents and their belongings. And we distributed hand sanitizer and masks to these groups. That has helped tremendously. In April, we partnered with Mercy Care, who is a local healthcare provider, and through some funding that they received, a portion of it coming from Fulton County, we were the first site to begin to provide COVID-19 testing as a demonstration of how we can test at shelter settings. Prior to us launching this testing nationally in places like Boston, San Francisco, and other cities, we were seeing infection rates of about 30% in some of these facilities. We were obviously nervous and trying to get prepared for that. At this same time, early April, if you can all go back with me, this is when the hospitals were starting to fill up. also the access to even being tested was not as readily available. So there were a lot of things that those of us that have some privileges and or some access couldn't get access to. We knew then that the unsheltered community was going to have some barriers. But it's been working well. Since April, we've continued to offer testing once or twice a month here at Gateway. Other shelter providers have also begun to offer testing at Gateway specifically. We have tested, we've provided testing for about 1,200 individuals. We've offered 1,200 tests. Some of these individuals have been retested, including myself. And we've had 13 positives out of those 1,200 tests that have been administered. Our infection rate has remained less than 2% the entire time of this pandemic. As you all know, watching the state's infection rate, it was upwards of about 15 to 17% at one point in time. It has come down, but it has come down because of the implementation of masks, increased testing, people knowing their status. In the homeless community, we were able to get ahead of the curve because of a lot of investments coming from local philanthropy, donations, and other resources that really helped us put a plan in place first and early that did not allow for the spread to really pick up in our community.
Wow. That's fantastic, Rafael. Well, first of all, let me just say on behalf of, you know, the Good Work Show, but also, you know, other nonprofits and just the community, thank you to you and to your team for, obviously, I know you take the work that you do every day seriously, but to be so proactive in ensuring the safety of the people that you serve, for your residents, making sure that things were safe for them, and then just thinking through, you know, strategically all of these things so that, you know, we can say Atlanta has had a great response, and you mentioned those other cities and what their infections rates were for the folks who were unsheltered. And that's remarkable. So thank you, because I know that you personally, I know you haven't had very many days off. And, you know, that definitely speaks volumes to the work that you're doing. But also, I'd love for you to share too, and if you can articulate what else we can be doing as a community, how can we help you? Because there's obviously you got your hands full just on a day to day, right? Whatever Gateway does with the five keys to success, that's so important and that's big. Then you layer on a pandemic, and then you layer on what we're going through with social unrest in our communities, mm-hmm. and people in the streets and protests. And then you have people who actually might, that's where they might live and spend their day. And so, you know, putting all of those things together, what can we do, or what should we keep in mind as a community when we're thinking about how we're going through this time and how we might be able to help folks like you, like at Gateway?
Absolutely. I think first we have to address the elephant in the room, and that is about voting. So the problem of homelessness and the issues of trying to support people during a pandemic or any kind of situation isn't about today. It's about really about going upstream, really looking at what has caused people to become homeless to begin with. And it really starts with looking at, honestly, you know, Atlanta has had an issue with affordable housing, but beyond the affordable housing issue, we need advocates that are working with landlords and property owners to do away with some of the rental discrimination that takes place in our city. There are places where people who are formerly homeless can't rent simply because they're coming from a homeless service center or AKA shelter. And there's a negative view of who they are and what they will bring to that community. And so that's work that can be done. There's a need to advocate there and hold people accountable. If you're a business owner, there is a need for community to look at hiring people that are trying to get back into the workforce and also being a second chance employee. And what I mean by second chance employee is that oftentimes job opportunities require you to check the box. And I think that's necessary to a degree. I think we should revisit what situations would require a person to not have certain things in their background, But when we're keeping people out of jobs for offenses that occurred 10, 15, sometimes 20 years ago, I think that's horrific. And I think that we can work with community partners to build trust and relationship. And that's both ways, with our guests and with the employer. But we really need to get people back to work. And same thing with back to the housing, is that if individuals have criminal histories, again, that date back, they shouldn't be denied housing. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, we have to come from the perspective that housing is a right and not a privilege. Currently, we treat it like a privilege. And that is very concerning. So it's the advocacy, it's the participating in your local elections. Yes, we have a big election coming up, but we have to look at what's happening on the local level. How are we using diversion services? How are we addressing the issues of systemic and structural racism within our communities and networks? How are we addressing the issue of the criminalization of people living in poverty? These things all compile over time and then is what often leads to a person not being able to access resources that then leads to homelessness. It's not that people choose or really want to be homeless. It's not that people started with a mental health issue or a substance abuse issue, which is what the assumption is, that, oh, they must have issues, right? No, you would have issues too if you became displaced, you no longer could provide for yourself or your family. Trust me, everyone that is listening or viewing this would have some trauma that comes from that. And so we have to just tap in, lean in a little bit more to our humanity and wanting to treat people with dignity. And I think that's where it starts at. Of course, there are always ways to participate with the organization, which, you know, there's obviously, as a nonprofit, we're always appreciative of the generosity of community and their donations, but also of your time. So we have volunteer opportunities. We've had to adjust those a bit because of COVID-19, but we still have opportunities. We have groups that are currently putting together clothing drives for us. Clothing drives can be, especially going into these colder months of the year, need for shoes, especially the athletic shoes, coats, underclothes, socks, undershirts, underwear, those types of things that we traditionally don't receive would be very helpful to us. But again, I think ultimately for real change, we are currently really aggressively looking for housing and employment partners to address some of the issues so that people can be self-sufficient. Not that many of our guests aren't eligible for subsidies and some of the other services. And so it's about getting people connected to a livable wage and to affordable housing. And I think there are ways to do that within our community if we brainstorm it and partner a little more.
Great, well said.
I don't have any more questions.
Because Raphael, he just drops the mic. It's like,
I know. I'm like,
you gotta do.
I don't know where else to go with that. So,
I do have a question though about something that you said that just kind of sparked something. So you started off, you know, saying, well, what can people do? And you talked about voting. Is there a plan? Are there strategies when you're talking about the guests and those that you serve with getting them registered to vote and ensuring that they make it to the polls? Tell me a little bit about your work there, or if you're partnering with someone else. I think that would be really interesting to hear about.
Absolutely. So during these testing events that we've been offering, we have been partnering with other organizations, Soap for Hope, Crossroads, also our local area post office, to register individuals to vote. So one of the challenges for registering is you have to have a mailing address. Mm-hmm. Gateway does not provide mailroom services, so individuals can't use our location for receiving mail. However, there are providers in the city that offer that service, Crossroads Ministries being one of those, as well as the post office that is close to our location here on Prior Street also is providing that service. So that's been a game changer. We are able to educate our guests around that opportunity. We are not only driving around voter registration, but also the census. We're having people being counted for the census because, again, that's going to help us as resources are being allocated and distributed to the right areas and to the right communities. And so it's a huge push. We've had speakers come in to speak with our guests about the importance. We have a lot of people, due to fear, that don't want to register to vote because they see it as being tracked. And, you know, a lot of people haven't had a good experience with some of the governmental systems, and so they fear it. Same way we have the issues with the healthcare system and communities of color. Same goes true for governmental processes. But it's important for us to educate our guests about who is advocating for them. The Fulton County Solicitor, Keith Gamage, is a great example of someone who has been putting in innovative programs for diversion. He's been doing work around expungements for misdemeanor offenses. And so again, not campaigning for any one individual, but again, as a consumer or a citizen, you should be aware of people who are advocating for things that might impact you. So we have had the solicitor come and speak with our staff, and we're disseminating information around his events. And there are other people also in community that are doing some very unique and creative things that we need these types of people in office, or either them or people like them, to work with them and collaborate. And it starts on the local level. The national ticket tends to get the bulk of the attention, but we are also trying to make people aware about how some of these local offices work. In addition to pairing the voter registration, I'd be remiss if I didn't add that we're also working with Mercy Care to add flu vaccination and education around vaccination to our processes here. As you can imagine, you know, even with the recent news of the ICE camp and the unusual amount of hysterectomies being administered to the women in those camps, continue to fuel this fear that people of color have around healthcare system, and especially with vaccination. So I think as we talk about voting, we have to talk about all of this, right? It's the climate of what's going on, the frustration, the anger, doing some education around why your vote still matters, because we have a lot of people that feel they just don't want to participate. They don't feel the vote means anything. And so showing elections where how few people voted and how small the margins were, even for our local elections for mayor, typically very small turnout if you look at the overall population of the city of Atlanta and the number of votes cast. And then getting people again connected to these programs where you can get expungements and get your voting rights back, and people assuming like, oh, I just can't vote because I have X. No, there's a resource for that. We can get that taken care of. And so there's a lot of things. Sorry for the long answer, but it just made me think of just a number of things and the ways we're trying to address voting, but also building trust of processes. Because that's the biggest issue that we tend to deal with here.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's great. I mean, I think that, you know, attacking it from the different angles that you mentioned, and ensuring that people are educated, you know, you can just imagine. I mean, as you were saying that and talking and thinking through, you know, if you don't have an address and, you know, that's exactly what you need, you could literally just be turned off by the fact that, hey, the first thing that says on there is put your name and address, and that's it. And you might walk away not knowing, or particularly if the person in front of you isn't educating you and saying, hey, wait a minute, if you're stuck there, let me tell you how to get to the next step. And that's so important. So yeah, thank you for that.
Let me add a quick thing also. We received a generous donation during this COVID-19 pandemic that has allowed us to increase our ability to assist people with getting birth certificate and IDs. So that's another key piece. Even though you don't always need ID, you can get the voter ID card. But getting people with state IDs, that's just empowering in itself. Yes. To have some form of identification that maybe has previously been lost, stolen, or even taken from you due to an arrest or other issues. So it's multi-layered, obviously, but we're trying to address it the best that we can, but also through partnership. I would also love to add that during the pandemic, Trinise, back to your question about what's been kind of going on, Atlanta has really stepped up. Atlanta has stepped up in the way that we have been collaborating to, Gateway hasn't done this in a vacuum. We've had our success through the local philanthropic, corporate and foundations, being very specific about wanting to help, how can they be targeted in their assistance, and making those processes even somewhat easier than what they are in the normal circumstances to ensure that the money is getting to providers to be able to provide services. Organizations are partnering and collaborating well for joint venture opportunities. Gateway has been involved in a couple. One, a couple of big ones has been when we started the test and we knew if we had people testing positive, we needed to get people somewhere they could isolate or quarantine. Otherwise, they would have to shelter in place, which again, that was the recommendation. But if you're experiencing homelessness,
you don't have a place.
Or you're in a congregate setting like Gateway, right? Which isn't the best place to mix populations of those being exposed and those that haven't. Mm-hmm. So we were able to stand up a private-public partnership where there was a hotel downtown that it was seeing lost revenue due to the virus, due to the spread of the virus, and turn that hotel into an isolation quarantine hotel. A second hotel presented itself, and we were able to use that as a housing option. And why that was necessary. A lot of people will say that people that are experiencing homelessness are service resistant. And I have been working with our team, and we talk about people being service fatigued. Service resistant blames them. Service fatigue means we haven't provided the solution that works best for them. We've taken away some level of choice by only providing kind of the traditional, again, short-term residential shelter type setting. This non-congregate hotel setting allowed for people to have a room, which basically serves like an efficiency, which is you have a door, you have your own restroom, bed, TV, and there were 250 rooms that we were able to work with other collaborative partners to fill very quickly. And people wonder, well, why did people take this? Well, why wouldn't they? It's closer to having a home, you know, what home looks like. I have a door that I can walk through and that I can lock, and it feels like I have some ownership. And it has been amazing because we've been able to connect with people that traditionally would have never come to Gateway or any of the other facilities. So some of our chronic homeless individuals and those that are even greatest risk for being exposed to COVID use the non-congregate hotel, what we call a healthy hotel, as a housing option. And from there, we were able to bring in other collaborative partners to start the long-term housing assessment process. So we're currently working with partners, again, more specifically Partners for Home, is leading a charge for a program called LIFT. And it's really an aggressive effort to utilize a lot of these resources that have become, that have been made available to us to extend rapid rehousing, get more people into apartments. There was already an initiative that was expanding the permanent supportive housing. The challenge is can't find enough apartments. There isn't enough residential partnerships for the need, right? So we, again, back to my original statement, we need property owners and management groups to look at allowing our current guests or people that we serve to become residents in their community. They come with a subsidy, yes, but they are also coming with other supports. And they just come as people, not wanting a handout, but a hand up.
Awesome. Wow. So it sounds like you need a vacation.
I know. I was like, it sounds like, you know, Murphy else got some time on his hands. He can do some other stuff. I don't know why.
If my Lakers win this championship, I'm going to go to whatever virtual party they have in LA.
That's right. Well, you know, we can collaborate on right. that virtual.
I know
this has actually... I'm looking at this and I'm like, we may have to do this again in a couple of weeks because this gathering could be kind of ugly in about a week or so.
It might be interesting.
We may have to
put, in 2 weeks.
And we may have to put the Good Work Show on hiatus. For...
Right. Well, Raphael, I mean, again, so much is going on in your world, but we thank you that you're here, with us in the community. We thank Gateway for all of the work that you're doing, all of the partners and folks who are listening. Raphael did a fantastic job in telling you what the needs are and laying them out. There are so many people who probably have access to some of the resources that can really just help out. Or even if you just knew the issues and what they are, continue to spread the word. We hope that, one day we won't have to be talking about this. I mean, that's our ultimate goal with the nonprofits that we have on here, is that one day you won't be a guest on the Good Work Show, because there'll be no need for you to be on. But until then, we appreciate it and hope that this is going to help shed some light on some of the issues and things that people can do to help, and the work that you all are doing, so that folks can get behind you and volunteer and invest and ensure that they are supporting you in that effort.
Thank you.
Hey, real Thank quick, you, Raphael, what's your, how can people connect with you?
Okay, I have two shameless plugs. I'll give you the connection, but also want to make you aware that Gateway, along with 25 other service providers, are offering financial rental assistance. This program is available. Just visit the United Ways page or 211. You can call 211. If you know anyone in the Metro Atlanta area that is struggling due to COVID-19, loss of wage, loss of job, they can receive up to $3,000 in rental assistance, utilities assistance, or also assistance with security deposit. We are trying to not add to our current homeless epidemic that we have in the city and prevent people from becoming displaced. Our contact information is, again, you can visit us at gatewayctr.org. Stop at our website. You can see information about the financial assistance program, volunteerism, as well as just look at our impact. We have our reports shared to show how we have been engaging with community. And if you see anything there or have ideas, you can drop us a line on the contact us and we'll be sure to follow up.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you to, again, your team. Give them a big virtual pat on the back for us.
I'll do that.
Socially distance.
And also, since you all like to dress alike.
You going to send us a Gateway shirt?
I'm going to send you. So next time, the three of us.
We can all match.
This is how we're going to build community.
Yes, right. I love it. That'll be great. We love t-shirts.
So after this, I'll get your size and get them in the mail to you.
Thank you
both for just being great partners, getting the word out, not only about Gateway, but all the wonderful nonprofits in the city of Atlanta. You're doing amazing work. And so thank you for your contributions as well.
We appreciate that. You're welcome.